I think that is right at all, especially when you folks in the legislature have given yourselves a raise. I do not think that is at all right. I don't want you to, I don't want this annuity debt to go into effect either. I don't think it's right for the people who have to go to the nursing home for them to be, to lose their longevity. We folks who are on a fixed income cannot afford to have any of it cut. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. James. Anyone else in Homer?
One more. I'm John Child. I'm box 543 Homer. And I would like to, I've known Homer Thompson for the 38 years that I've been here. And I'd like to ditto everything that you said right down the line. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Could you restate your name, sir?
John Child, C-H-I-L-D.
Thank you, Mr. Child.
This is the moderator. There's one more lady that had to leave for a few minutes. If you could come back to Homer later.
All right, I certainly will. Matt Sue?
Hello. I'm Rose Palmquist in Omagas. I'm going to comment on all of the bills that are before us this afternoon. In addition to testifying for myself, I am an official representative of the Older Person Action Group. I am not the official lobbyist for the pioneers, but I am a member of the Government Affairs Committee. Both the Older Person Action Group and the pioneers and the electorate in 1986, which was not just the older people voting, it was all of the voters voting, which voted overwhelmingly for the legislature to adopt an annuity program. That has come up several times since then. Governor Schaefer has appointed a special committee on the longevity bonus, which at that time was headed by John Mercatula and former Governor Hammond. And I attended a number of those meetings. The schedule was worked out as just how that program could work. I don't see anything too different from Senate Bill 8, from the bill that was introduced in the previous legislature, from the bills that have been introduced in various legislatures over the years. And it is high time that the annuity program is looked at by the legislature with considerable intensity in an effort to satisfy the overwhelming majority in the state who have voted for this type of change in the longevity bonus program. I would like to make one observation that no one has made to date on the longevity bonus. As you know, I was the first administrator of the longevity bonus program. And the system which I put into effect at that time is essentially that which is in effect now, excepting that at that time I made no fiscal notes on who gets programs, who doesn't get programs, who might go out of the state and who might not go out of the state, etc. The legislature increased because of increases in inflation and the cost of living. The longevity bonus from the $100 a month gradually over a period of years. It didn't jump in all at once to the $250. And if you will look at the cost of living changes and the inflation rate from 1972 to 1991, that's quite a few years, you will notice that the change in the dividend corresponds pretty well, if anything, a bit trifle low, over the rate of inflation and the cost of the goods that seniors have to buy. The other thing that I would like to state number of studies. This year we made one, but it was quite limited because we did not include the wages of people, older people that work for wages. We did not include any business investments or interest rates or so on, because those are a little bit too difficult to get. The next one will probably have the wages. The pensions and non-state government general funds that are spent by the seniors in Alaska, not counting their investments or interest, but only pensions, Medicare, which is a cost-based program, and other benefits, which equals over $650 million a year. That's more than you get from tourism. That's more than you get from timber. I'm sorry. Are you going to cut me off?
No, go ahead, Rose. Continue, Rose.
No. I didn't mention fishing, so those literally go away. So yes, the majority of the people in Alaska are for an annuity program, and isn't it high time that the legislature pay some attention to it? Now going to committee substitute for House Bill 11, it looks as though although I don't understand quite just exactly how SSI, which is the additional amount that people who get too little Social Security to even live on, how that has any effect on this. But maybe I need to read the legislative intent. But it sounds like, now I'm glad they took out the 1985, because that created, I think, too many problems. So I don't see any problem with that. But House Bill 11, well, that's the original. House Bill 20 introduced by Representative Sharp. He did that at the request of the pioneers. And it's a bill that we support. It is also supported by Older Persons Action Group. I would like a definition of the last phraseology, private non-governmental sources. We would like that to be defined in the bill, that does not include Medicare or Social Security, which is funded from private payments by people employed into the Social Security system. And they should not be considered. That should be... House Bill 34. We have already stated our position. We are opposed to House Bill 34. We are opposed to the extension of leniency with the longevity bonus to people who want to stay outside longer than 90 days. The percentage of people who want to use this extended leave out of the state are for the most part people who are quite well to do. They like to go outside. Many of them have homes, Arizona, Hawaii, you name it. California, no true California. Of course they would like to get their bonuses all of the time, excepting when they are out. So we're opposed to that one. House Bill 122, you're opening a, I don't know what to call it, but you're opening a big problem. You're opening a big problem with that one. Some borrowers administering the program, some of my personal friends, said that we should put the bonus while we were in Florida because their doctors recommended that they go to a warmer climate. If you can't get your doctor to say that your health would be improved if you go south, you go to another doctor and you'll get it. And you will have a terrible increase in the cost of the longevity bonus program if you adopt House Bill 122.
Thank you very much, Rose, for your insight.
And of course, not passing SB 159. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rose. Is anyone else there in Matsu?
Oh, there were about 26 people here. A couple of them left. I think there were others who wanted to testify.
We have Mr. Line next.
Ernest Line.
My name, my name is Lyon, and I've been around for a year or three. In most part, I subscribe wholeheartedly to what Rose has just testified. I think I'm very cognizant of what your intent is with committee substitute for House Bill 11 and sponsor substitute for House Bill number 20. I'm sure that there could be some arguing done one way or the other. I think you people down there should be able to get together, iron out your differences, and make it as easy as possible for those people who are confined to nursing homes. That is, make it as easy as possible financially. On House Bill 26, this does nothing but allow an extended absence from 90 days to 179 days. It completely dilutes the original purpose of the longevity bonus. House Bill 22 might have some merit. I'm not sure of what it is. If some language could be put in a bill that would force physicians to put their reputations wholeheartedly on the line when they do this kind of thing, it might have a little bit more strength. A physician can be easily persuaded to say, oh yeah, you'll be better off if you're down south, even if it's in northern Minnesota. Senate Bill number 8, she has stated, Rose has stated our position wholeheartedly. I think this should have been passed a long time ago. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 34, oppose. I think that what is necessary here is to improve the current law to prevent the multiple absences and abuses that are being taken advantage of, some of the loopholes that are being taken advantage of by some people who are lacking in a few scruples. And Senate Bill number 159, if Governor Hickel's reported statement is true, that he will back off if there is strong opposition from the seniors, then, as soon as this opposition becomes apparent, I'm sure that Governor Hickel will withdraw Senate Bill 159, because it was primarily upon this that many, many people voted for Mr. Hickel when he said he would let the longevity bonus remain as it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lyon. I might ask if anyone here in the audience or on the teleconference site is here to testify in support of Senate Bill 159. If there is, would you please come to the microphone? If there's no one comes to the microphone, then I shall make it a matter of record that all the people that are here, and we'll have a final count, everyone online, that there was no one stood up in support of Senate Bill 159.
Mr. Chairman, we have two more people in that, so we get a chance.
Go ahead.
This is Holly Hollis, and my address is 470-6775 in Wasilla, and I want to speak against Bill 159, and I think I'm going to present a little different program on why. I work with a care coordinator for agency out of Palmer 2 days a week, and so I see several elderly day, people every day on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you could see the difference the $250 or the $500 for a couple makes, if we take this away, it's going to take away the dignity of the individual, it's going to make a difference in their lifestyle. And I don't think that it's appropriate for anyone to have that authority to do so. It wasn't intended that way to begin with, and it should not be forcing these people to go on a welfare program just because somebody in the state wants to change it. I think that when it comes to the cost, we talk about how much it's costing the state, and we hear this statement all the time in all the newspapers by all of our representatives and legislators stating how much it's going to cost the state to keep the longevity bonus in effect. And as Bruce told you, we put out $650 million per year that we spend in the state, including the longevity bonus and the permanent fund, so I can see no reason why they should stress the amount it's costing, but they never stress the amount of money that we donate to the state's welfare and the maintenance of its program. I work every 3 months. I do a storm survey for the Cooperative Extension Office out of Fairbanks, and I've been doing that for over 7 years. And slow but sure, in the last few years, I see a definite increase in the cost of living. And again, I think that the need for the $250 without a change from 65 to 767 is a very important issue. I would also like to comment, I'd like to see this bill settled once and for all instead of being brought up every year and never getting a definite answer. Every time we get a new legislature in session, it goes through the same thing, and all we do is keep the people tied up in a knot and wondering how it's going to end once and for all. And I would like to see a finish to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hollis. Actually, that is the problem with a lot of things in state government. I know from Valdez, where I'm from, we have a number of issues that are continually reoccurring, and we have to deal with them every other year, it seems like, rather than putting them to rest. And possibly Senate Bill 8, which a number of you have spoken in favor of, may be a way to do that in the future and still protect this program. Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to mention the way the Senate identified the income that seniors bringing into the state. And you're wrong. There are people that have been talking about that. I've been talking about that for years. In fact, I even did a research paper on that subject and comparing the Social Security and retirement funds and the charitable work that seniors, the value of all those things to the Alaska economy versus the cost of a longevity program, and that's a very positive return for the state of Alaska. So don't think that people aren't discussing that, because I've been talking about that for years. initiated by the legislature. Once again, this was an initiative by the executive branch, so can't just blame this on a new legislature coming in. I'm trying to avoid making a statement about this, but it seems like I want to make it really clear to people that I support the program as it is. The only alternative I ever supported was the annuity program, which I did vote for because it was it got overwhelming support, and it was on the ballot by citizens and by the seniors. And unfortunately, that was vetoed by Governor Cooper. That's the only change I've ever supported in this program, other than the extension of the residency requirement to 2 years. I can remember being a child when somebody retired in Alaska. The first question you asked them was, where are you going? And with the exception of possibly my grandfather, been around a long time. I mean, people just tended to go outside because they couldn't afford to stay here. And I think it's a wonderful program. I've always
Thank you, Rich and Donna. I think a lot of us, even though we might be relatively new to the state, compared to many of you, recognize this, especially me as an educator, recognize the resource that we have in the senior citizens. And I think you find that the legislature as a whole does also. Representative Bruckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, but I do have some concerns, and to be honest with you, I resent the inference that there are a number of senior citizens and a number of physicians going to draw the state. I simply don't believe that. I think if a physician signs a statement that a person needs to offer medical treatment, that is a fact. And maybe there are a few instances, but I am beginning to resent that inference. Thank you.
All right. Tom Hollis, did you want to add anything to your wife's statement?
Mr. Hollis is approaching the mic.
Okay. Next we'll be going to Ketchikan.
Yes, this is Tom Hollis. Same address as my wife, Holly. And in general, I believe that the people have covered my thoughts. I sent a letter to the governor and to Mr. Hodel several weeks ago, reminding him of his position in general before the election, and suggesting that in view of the contributions of seniors to the economy of the state, that any financial changes in the longevity bonus would be counterproductive at this time. I just today received a card from the governor's office thanking me for the letter and saying it had been referred to the appropriate department for reply. I haven't received a reply yet. I am vigorously opposed to the raise of the age in the governor's suggested bill to 67 and the other provision. We may see him now backing off if the sufficient seniors object. The only other bill that I have reservations on is the annuity bill, and it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. So at this point, I would say my thoughts on that are up in the air. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I would note that there are a number of people listed in these areas that are there to observe and not to testify. Ketchikan, do you have anyone remaining? I see Mr. Carmen Holm has left. Do you have anyone to testify?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ketchikan. Do we have anyone at the Chugach Senior Center to testify? How about the Anchorage Pioneer Home?
No one wishes to testify at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Was that you yet?
No, this was the Anchorage Pioneer Home.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Would you please find out why all the longevity bonus checks in Minnesota or throughout the state are being held up?
Why they are being held up? Is that the question?
No one in LaSalle has gotten their longevity bonus checks, at least none of them that are here in this room, and there's about 26 of us.
Is anyone in Anchorage having that problem here?
received one unless it came in the mail since I've been here.
Barbara Bethany, are you still in line with this?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. As far as I know, I checked the runs, all that's gone out in time, and the checks should be being received. Today is only the 1st of April, so we are only required to send them out by Friday evening. So because of the Easter holiday and the traffic, some may be delayed into some areas. But they did go out on time.
All right, thank you, Ms. Bethany. Is there anyone else on teleconference in any station that wishes to testify?
This is Mabel Wrangler, and I do have a person here to testify.
Go ahead, Mabel.
This is Corey Sipnowski in Wrangell, box 921. I will be 65 in June, and I am totally against moving the age up to 67. At the present time, I have been working two jobs to supplement my Social Security so I can still live in Alaska. I love this town. So please don't raise the age limit and try to get them out, you know, so that people our age don't have to work, you know, to make a living in Wrangell. And could I ask you one question, please?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Why does a senior have to wait 2 months or more for their first check to come out? Because I have heard that they have to wait 2 to 3 months for their first check after they put in for it, and then the 2 months after they pass away goes to their heirs. It's supposed to be for senior citizens.
Yes, that's an administration change that, well, maybe I'll let Ms. Bethany explain that. Barbara?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. It had a number of reasons. One of the reasons was it was easier to administer the program. The people did not have to tell us ahead of time that they're going to travel. And they did not know how long they're going to be gone. Or if they forgot to tell us, then they would have to call on distance. And it became quite difficult. And the second part is we were under instruction to try to cut the bonus cost. And we didn't want to eliminate part of the bonus payment. So this was the same the Social Security did several years ago by paying retrospectively. Now, when you are applying in January, you will get a stop then, and your first stop in February will just have void on it. But in March, it will ask you, you will get in March your check for January. And you will have testified then on that stop that you were present for the whole month of February, so we know that you are eligible for the check. What has happened in the past, that the person has passed away, we had to go back and ask the poor widow or the widower for the money back, which was very difficult. So that's another not quite as great reason, but to administer the program, nobody has to tell us ahead of time anymore where they've gone, what they've done. You just now certify on the stuff and you send it in. Yes, I was here last month. Yes, I applied for the bonus. And when we get that, we will pay you that bonus.
Thank you very much. And one question, please. I will be 65 in June. Could I apply in May to get it in there in time?
Yes, sir. If you send it in May, you will arrive and you will get it by the 1st of June.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Is Jim Moody in Fairbanks on?
Yes, good afternoon. My prime reason for interest today is in testifying in favor of House Bill 20. 665, 10th Avenue, Fairbanks. I wish I could be as brief and succinct as John Riley, whose comments I would endorse. I'm too young to qualify for the longevity bonus myself, personal experience, I'd like to comment in support of the bill of HB 20 on behalf of those old timers who are unaware that they will lose the bonus even if they're paying their own way when they move into a nursing home. I think it's an injustice to disallow the bonus for old timers who are paying their own nursing home bills and not receiving any state or federal aid or not eligible for such aid. My personal experience is based on my dad, who is in his 90s with over 60 years continuous residency and couldn't get into the Pioneers home and was cared for at home as long as possible, and eventually some other arrangements had to be made. The $250 per month or less of pending proposals are effective is not much, but when compounded with the cost of private, or when compared with the cost of private nursing homes, but it does help. And to people who, whose resources have been drained, the little bit can be significant, and $3,000 a year is certainly nothing to sneeze at. It's traumatic enough to have to move into a nursing home, and the sudden loss of the longevity bonus can or usually does come as a shock, a demoralizing shock. Like Representative Taylor said, the loss comes at a time when the recipient needs the assistance the most. Again, my point is that a person not eligible for state or federal aid, Medicaid, should not be deprived of the longevity bonus. I don't have a copy, moving on to some other stuff here, I don't have a copy of the substitute for House Bill 11, the concerning the 90-day qualification, but I would note that there are some people who move in and out of nursing homes. I know at least one individual here in Fairbanks who's been in and out of Denali Center at least twice, if not four or five times. And I think that's about it. I comment on House Bill 122 regarding Barbara Bethany's comments on the bill, that perhaps that could be changed or improved a little bit by adding a little word in there that notwithstanding aid of the section, a recipient who is absent from the state upon the advice of a physician for the purpose of receiving medical treatment that is not available in Alaska and who is otherwise qualified. And I think that's probably about it from here.
Thank you, Mr. Moody. That is a good suggestion there. Okay, I'd like to go back here to the people that are here. Sir, would you state your name and address for the record, please? Push that up.
Mr. Chairman, my name is H.P. Gasaway. Like Tom Fink, I've been here 38 years, but I have lived in Fairbanks, Palmer, Juneau, and since I retired 12 years ago here in Anchorage. I want to associate myself with the majority testimony here today, but first of all, I would like to thank you, the committee, for having this hearing, and you, Representative Cabina, for making it such a fair and open hearing. And I would also like to try to make one point. I don't believe in any change in the longevity bonuses is warranted so long as this state is getting $1 billion or more a year in oil. The oil resources belong to all the people in this state, and I think we depend on the legislature, us that are not active in the system, us that are not drawing one or two or three salaries per household, and we've got three vehicles on the highway, and like you read about in the hillside and so forth. We're not the ones that have got all 4 feet in the trough. It's those people that are in the Chamber of Commerce and in the businessmen's allowance and so forth are hollering, cut, cut government, cut government. And I just wanted to try to make that point, that the people on aid-dependent children, the people drawing the longevity bonus or property tax exemption are the person that's getting some health care benefits and so forth. They're merely getting a small part of their share of the oil wealth of this state, which, as you and I both know, it amounted to $5,000 to $10,000 a year for more than 10 years. And we certainly, giving it to people is a lot more, I think, humane and a more fairer way of distributing than creating a bunch of Taj Mahals like our library and convention center and like the causeway or the port on the island and this huge cap of profits. I think the poorest judgment that the legislature and the governors have used over the last decade hasn't been in people programs. It's been in capital improvements and in capital facilities. And I want to emphasize to you that I don't think I need to emphasize to you that something like 60 or 80% of every dollar you vote into a capital improvement project goes outside the first time it turns over. It doesn't stay here. It goes out to pay wages and profits and for materials and so forth. It doesn't stay in the internal economy and turn over and over again. I thank you very much for listening to me, and I want to express again our appreciation for you coming here and holding this hearing.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Casley, are you suggesting that possibly the people on the hillside use their own troopers and use that money for the longevity bonus?
Well,
excuse me, Representative Bruckman, I didn't mean to laugh.
Would you repeat the question again?
There is a little controversy about the hillside receiving trooper service rather than Anchorage Police Service, and that the state has been paying for that.
Well, now, I don't want to single out people on the hillside. You know, there's literally thousands of people living all over this town, the rest of Alaska, that are much like they are. But I think the point I was trying to make a moment ago, they are the people that live in $250,000 to $400,000 homes, pay very little taxes, have a home loan that's been subsidized $5,000 or $10,000 per year. And I'm not talking specifically about the people on the hillside. They're the ones that are crying, cut the government, cut the budget. Not us people here. And I think, you know, we're the people who are benefiting from the oil industry and are all mostly are those people that are active in the system. I mean, that includes the government employees, federal and state, as well as the people in business and so forth. They're the ones that's reaping the benefit of the oil money, not the people who are underage in school or in child care, or the seniors who are largely inactive so far as participating in the major economy. That's the point I'm trying to make. I wasn't intending, but I do think it's time the people on the hillside paid for their police protection and so forth. I wasn't singling them out.
No, sir, I know you weren't. I was probably more giving a little dig to a representative on my left hand.
Oh,
my
right. Right.
And Mr. Chairman, I just want to make note that a lot of people on the hillside don't own those kinds of houses, including myself. I represent the hillside, and the majority of them don't have $250,000 homes.
Well, I don't want to illustrate, indicate the system. I'm sorry, I use hillside other than that they are, well, I'll take a little more of your time. I say your problem over the last 10 years hasn't changed substantially. Your number one fiscal problem that the legislature and the governor wrestled with really hasn't changed. The number one hasn't changed. And that's revenue enhancement and diversification. And there hadn't been too much progress made on that the last 5 or 10 years. I believe that those people who reap and use up by driving on the roads, by having police, fire protection, by having kids in school and the college and the university, those are the ones that are getting the big windfall from the oil industry. And I believe they're the ones, I believe your number two problem is getting those people, those businesses, and those communities who enjoy the tremendous benefits that this state has to offer and who can afford to pay for a greater share of the cost of it. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We had Representative Choquette first, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, you made a real good point. So the longevity bonus program is unsurpassed in the percentage of dollars that go right back into the community. And all of us should keep that on the top of our minds when we're making that decision to cut it.
Representative Bloomberg.
I just wanted to say, Grant, that we appreciate what you're saying. And we appreciate your coming out here too, and everybody else. And what we have to do is to be fair to the seniors and the people on the hillside and everybody.
I know it's a tremendous job, and I want to thank you.
From Juneau?
Yes. Representative Pat Parnell.
Go ahead, Representative Parnell.
A question to Mr. Gathaway, and maybe I missed it in the beginning, but did you mention anything on Senate Bill number 8 on the annuity program and whether we should initiate that again since it was stricken down before by the governor?
I didn't come here. I haven't read all of the bills or most of them, and I'm not prepared to talk specifically on any one bill. I'm talking strictly in general.
I appreciate knowing that because Representative Choquette and Representative Ruckman, Representative Johnny, Larry Baker, and myself were all doing a survey in Districts 8 and 10, and so far, sort of a sneak preview on the survey gives us an indication that the majority of people in our two districts would very much like to see us implement the annuity program. So I appreciate your candidness and just wanted to share that with everybody. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I couldn't help but think earlier when we were talking the annuity plan was mentioned. If you have to make drastic changes in the present plan, my idea would be that the annuity plan is the second best alternative. And I would like to stress that it passed in every election district in this state but two, and by a far greater majority of votes than what Governor Cooper received or what Governor Hickel received later in this lifetime.
Thank you, Al. Representative Brackman.
Thank you. In District 8, I sent out a survey in District 8, which includes the hillside, the folks up there want to support, continue, in fact, possibly increase the longevity bonus along with education. In other words, they're willing to pay for education and they're willing to pay for longevity bonus.
Representative Choquette.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like this committee and you people to be aware of a bill that's going to be introduced here probably Wednesday. It has a lot of co-sponsors, apparently, but it does affect the longevity bonus. It drops the monthly payment down to $150 a month. It increases the age for women to 67. Men stay at 65.
Who's introducing this bill?
It's
just a little light touch there. have some more to testify. Mr. Smay, would you come up and let's see. Do we have Jim Nicaro? Could you take this one, please, Mr. Smay? Go right ahead.
My comments are that if you've been up here for a long time, you've seen some of the money thrown at projects, and it involves a lot of money. Some in the interior, some in Anchorage. What I'm going to refer to first is the McKinley building down here. It's just nothing but a statue that the state governor's office refused to rent, saving money because they wanted to put them in these fancy buildings around here. And I would like to know whether the senior citizens are living in those kind of quarters, all of us, right now. I would like you to take a survey to find out where to live. My house is evaluated at less than $70,000, yet I live on what you call Hillside or Porcupine Trail off of Rabbit Creek, 2861 Porcupine Trail. I will take it. But I do not like for you to take money out of my pocket. I'm not retired yet, but I plan to. I'm retired, but I'm not old enough to receive this bonus. But I hope that I will live long enough to receive it if they don't mess with it too much. 159, I think, is a slap in the older people's face in this state of Alaska. It's a slap in the face. I don't care whether it's coming from Hippo, I know him personally, and I don't care whether it's coming from someone else. I think that all legislation needs to have more public input so that the legislation that's passed in Juneau is not something that just the legislatures want to put over, but that the people of Alaska want to live with, because we're the ones that pay the bill. I know the oil comes in, but that's for us all, not just for a few. That's for everyone in the state to have some say about. Some of these other bills, the one of Fortunos, I think needs some more study before you enact it. I think eventually that is going to have to happen. But I think we should wait and study it and get some more input from the senior citizens and elderly people in this state before you enact something like Senate Bill 8. Some of these other substitutes, I don't think we should permit people to go out and have long vacations under the bill. I think that 60 days is plenty. Now, for medical purposes, I think that we got to rely on the consciences of the people and the doctors for that. I don't think you can legislate morals. I have never seen it done anywhere. That's about all I have.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for letting us have a voice.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Would you state your name and address for the record?
I'm June Nacarado in Anchorage. I want to respond to Pat Parnell, Representative Parnell.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Pat. Do you remember me?
Yes. Thanks for coming out today.
This should not be based on charity. It is for a cost of living bonus. I am insulted to even have you mentioned this as being considered for charity.
It had been brought up during our administrative budget subcommittee during the finance review for the budget, and had been mentioned, and I had inquired what the feelings were, and I kind of wanted to get the rest of infos because none of you were online at that particular time, and so that's why I brought it up, and the gentleman had talked about it, and it seemed like a good time to ask that particular question. Thanks, Jim.
I think it just those here responded, maybe you didn't hear them, but I think none of them here want to be considered as receiving this for charity.
That was sort of the feel that we got during the administration subcommittee hearing, but we didn't really have a whole lot of feedback on that one point.
I wish to bring up something that's probably administrative and not a legislative question. But why do we have to answer if we have been outside Alaska for 15 or more days? We are permitted to be gone less than 30 days and not lose a check.
So why is that? Beth is here and she can answer that for you.
Thank you. Why is it on the questionnaire that we've been outside Alaska for 15 or more days?
Like now, you are telling us retrospectively that you have been out 15 days, more than 15 days in 1 month, together with more than 15 days in the prior month, can add up to 30 days of absence. That's the only way we know that you would be absent for more than 30 days. Also, you have to forfeit 2 checks if you're gone for more than 45 days. That's another time where we would need the 15 plus days. And reporting. If you have to report for more than 15 days in a month and you are not gone the next month more than 15 or just the latter part of the next month, then you still will get the check. We would just need the information to assure that they don't add up to more than 30 or more than 45, and we will be able to forward you the correct number of checks.
Was there a problem the way it was handled in the past?
Yes, ma'am. We found out that a large number of people were gone for anywhere from 30 to 40 days, came back after the 5th or 6th or the 10th of the month, still sent in their stuff and received the checks illegally. Also, they told us ahead of time they're going to be gone for 29 days, and then we would send the check, and then actually they were gone, and they had to tell us afterwards. Then we had to stop the check or cancel the next payment. This way, it makes it easier to send out the check that you really can get and also can keep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
May I have the name of the office that Barbara Bathney holds?
Yes, ma'am. She's the director of Pioneer Benefits.
Thank you.
Let's see. Bill Hardesty?
He's left.
Is there anyone else that we have not got that would like to testify? If you both come up, please. And one of you take a...
Thanks for the opportunity today. I'm Vernon.
There you go.
I'm Vernon Bate of 7247 Spruce. I'm a 40-year resident of Anchorage. I long wanted to come to Anchorage when I was a small child. Since we've gotten statehood, things have changed. Before statehood, it was wonderful here. We had good laws, we had good people. If you come into Anchorage, especially in Anchorage, that's all I know about. If you come into Anchorage and you're here for 72 hours, white, black, brown, or blue, you got out of here. Today we welcome everything but good people. Our kids don't have a chance anymore. I retired in 1974. At that time, we had an opportunity to bring our kids up somehow, if we had a chance, our young boys, the government, we had local powers to train them and teach them the way of life and how to make it. Since that time, it's all gone. The state and the city government, they try, but seem like they don't. They want the money, but they don't want to train the kids. We had a loss today. I know many kids was born in the state of Alaska here. When they finished high school, they can't even find a job around here. For the outsiders and underhanders bring their kids in to get these local jobs for my kids. I hate it. I hate the things that have happened to the state. When I thought when we become statehood, we would have a state that we would be proud of. We could respect our state and our people. honest thing you've got to look at today in Alaska is pets, babies, and take advantage of the senior citizens. That's the way it looks to me. Just because it seems that we live longer now is because the people you see here now, these people have tried their best to take care of themselves, to include me. We don't want to be a burden on anybody, but we try our best to care our share of this burden and the load that we have. It's our responsibility. But when the tides change, the young man wants to say, get rid of them. Take them out to the senior citizen home, or take them over here to our compassionate lady. Give them to somebody. We don't want the burden, but we're still trying to support ourselves. We will as long as we live. Some of us just that old and independent. We're not going to be buffalo. I know of about 14 to 16 men and women right here in the community now. Some of them is going to have to leave the state this spring as soon as things get up to where they will be able to realize some out of their property, because they're going to have to leave the state because they don't have anybody to remove the snow so they can get out to go do the shopping and return home. People, elder people, we have a chance of getting our limbs broken and things. A lot of people don't even heal in the state of Alaska when they break the bones. I found it out from doctors. And we have a lot of things to consider and think of. The next thing, leave of absence from the state. Now, 30 days is just about enough. I'm ready to get back in 30 days. But sometimes things happen. If you go out by highway, you might have a breakdown. You go out by ship, parts of the highway, you can still have a breakdown. But I feel that we should be given a chance to have up to 45 days. That's in case you have an emergency and you can justify. But 30 days, I work for the government. They like your 30 days turnaround contract a year. And here we old and senior citizens, you don't want to sign to the state for 30 days. I have friends, I have relatives, but sometimes your friends, my friends mean much more to me than a relative. I can get along with my friend. But that relative, far out, that sucker quit. One way or the other, he ended with you or something. But what I'm saying is, give us a chance. Try to help us out. We would like to make it in our own homes as long as possible. And give us a chance to have at least 30 days outside. Don't change it from age 65 to 67. Leave it as it is. One more thing I want to bring up, and that's subsistence. How are the people that I know here that I'm well acquainted with the way they live and what they do? They've gotten on to fish. They like their fish. Some of them like their moose hunt, but that's old. You can't go out there and do that anymore. But they just enjoy being able to get out home in the summer and travel around in the state a little bit and get some subsistence fish. They're trying to cut that off from the local peoples in the towns. Cities and towns, we are just entitled. We don't have as much entitlement as the person in the village. The person mentioned that the people in the mouth of the river fishing with a hook. Well, that's not the man that's taking all the fish. The commercial fisherman got the fish. The man with the hook didn't get the fish. But we don't seem to understand. Most people in our main area here, we can't go down to Kenai Peninsula. A lot of us fish up at Copper River, fish wheels, things like that. We've been doing for years. And it's a good island. We get to meet people. The people that we closed up all the time. The old fellas can hardly walk, women too. Can't hardly walk. They need to get out. They need this exercise. This is the entitlements they've had for years. They ain't gonna cut it all away from us. We appreciate the time that you give us today. And I know the ones that I'm talking of, I know they appreciate me coming out today because they couldn't make it. Thank God I'm still able to get around a little bit. Try to get the one they can. Another thing we need to do in the state need to do, is to set up something that the people is disabled to get around and do things, have something, because you can't pay everyone to come around your home to do something for you. If you're paying, all you come around there for is look around and see what you come in and get later. I'm not a minute ahead or something. So I appreciate it if y'all would be more broad-minded about us, because most of us look like we're going to be around here a long time yet anyway. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Brian. We hope you are around here a long time, and I can assure you.
I'm going to do my best. If the good Lord help me, I'm going to be facing you again.
I can assure you that most of the people in the legislature, if not all of them, have only your interest at heart also, and would like to make life as pleasant and easy as possible, because we're all going to retire and would like to be in the same spot. Ma'am, would you state your name and...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Terry Burrell, Post Office Box 899510. I've paid property taxes for 32 years. I've paid income tax, not now, but previously, school tax. I haven't been on food stamps or welfare, thank God. I don't have, and I went without adequate medical. In a period of my life, I was paying for private. I was paying for private insurance that was really, it was not adequate. I'm just delighted to be age 67 because I have these bonuses, I have medical, and I think the state is treating us very well. I would like to support the annuity, number 8. Also, lovely couple sitting next to me, they had to leave. I asked them what they came for, what they wanted to have see done, and I agree with them. I support 20. I believe that these people are, it's inadequately stated, very well stated, but I really do believe that 20 should be implemented. I'm kind of questioning 122. I have mixed feelings about that. I had to go outside. I'm in a body cast. I'm also supposed to be using leg braces. I also had to get a brace for my lower jaw. I have post-polio syndrome. And this is something that cannot be really adequately treated up here. They have 3 centers in the United States where they can take control of the person's problem and do things for them. Two are in California, one of them is in Arizona. But somebody stated that if you're going to pay for an absence away, that it should state something about not available in the state of Alaska. I personally found on my times that I had to go down for this particular problem, that I saved money. I saved more than $250. I saved hundreds of dollars through outside medical care. So I hate to say, you know, pay while you're outside for your medical, when I think we do routinely have good medical care. I think you're opening up a can of worms when you consider 122. It's hard to administer now the length of time that people are outside, let alone then start, trying to shape up 122. But I certainly do support 820. Well, we've already gone over adequately 159. I would like for you to support 34 or someone. When somebody says you don't have to be out more than 30 days, or you don't have to be out more than 60, or whatever it is, every one of us is an individual. If I'm out staying with my sister and I find that I'm not going to become wheelchair bound by being in a climate where I can... where I can exercise, where I can slip and fall on the ice up here. I think that at least your 135 days would be great. I can remember when I was sharing a cabin, and I was told that I could only go down for 1 week because we had to rotate. I couldn't use that cabin because I couldn't afford the transportation, the gas, and the trip on the ferry to get to that cabin. I think that you have people who have a dream of going on a big trip or a dream of going and staying somewhere. And frankly, I paid very close attention when Hickel's administration said it doesn't add to the cost of the program. In my way of thinking, if you're gone and not receiving the longevity bonus, you're saving the cost of the program. I think you're less than 6 months. My property taxes still run if I'm outside. My sewer and water still run if I'm outside. I'm on a test meter. I pay $350 too much a year as a test person. There's no way that they can, at this point, if they're not. I'm saying, okay, we only use 2,000 a month instead of 7,000 gallons a month. There's no way that they're ameliorating that. But my water, sewer, utilities run fine outside. I'm not paying on my house, thank you very much. I don't pay property taxes on my house. However, my mortgage does run. I also would think that I pay probably in excess of $2,000 a year, whether I'm here or not. I also have obligations, whether I'm here or not. I don't think I would be taking away if I went and stayed out longer than 90 days. 135 days, 6, 8, whatever it is. I think everybody has their own need, their own once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. There are a lot, my orthopedic has said, for whatever you don't fall. Well, I've slipped and fallen dramatically this last year. And I had some extensive damage on it. If I were out there, I wouldn't be suffering from cold because of my polio. I would be better off for it. I'm just telling you personal things because there are people that do have a reason to leave the state, and I don't think that we're disloyal to want to be gone a certain length of time, particularly when we're not taking anything from anyone, we're not on welfare, we're not on any kind of assistance, we're on nothing other than the fact that we do each have individual circumstances. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Was there anyone I missed? Yes, sir. We just have a very few minutes. I know we have some representatives that have a couple of things to wrap up, so come right on up. And if you could be very brief, because we're going to lose our tall conference. Ma'am, state your name, please.
Yes, I'm Paula Burnett, and I live at 2534 Crestwood. I want to thank Pat Cornell for sending me a notice that this teleconference would be held. And I wanted to just sort of reiterate what the lady just previously has said. I am going to lose my longevity bonus for a year because I've had to be outside to help with my mother. She's 93. She had emergency surgery. My sister, who is her caregiver, has been declared legally blind in one eye and cataract on the other eye. I'm waiting for word that from the commission to go back down and care for her while she's having that surgery. And so, you know, you cannot, because there is a program cannot just say, family, just forget me. I will not help you. And so I am perfectly willing to give up the $250 when I'm not here, but I wish that I was not going to be penalized for the whole year for having gone and helped my family when they were in real need. There is no way that they could hire the help. And of course, it's costing me transportation, and I've had to go into debt for that. So it's put a real pressure on me from that standpoint. So I really would support the longer absences if they want us to give extenuating circumstances and have them backed up. I'm sure mother's doctors would be glad to give me those backup statements. And so I would like to ask that that bill be supported. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.
On teleconference?
I wanted to mention to her in the present regulations, it says under 2AAC40.110D, it says in determining whether an applicant meets the limits imposed or a recipient meets the limits imposed of this section, the administrator will exclude that portion of absence which are for one or more of the following reasons. And under 8, it says for medical treatment for the applicant or a member of the applicant's immediate family, if the treatment is advised by a licensed healthcare provider, does not include a seasonal or permanent change of residence. So it's conceivable. Also, it says allowable absences for medical reasons will be administrator's discretion, exclude periods of convalescence and periods between office visits or other direct contact between patient and healthcare provider. But 8 seems to cover her concern and conceivably would not necessarily change if they did make a change to it. It's possible they could just move that in there, and so if something like that she's just described came up, they could very well accommodate that.
Thank you, Representative Parnell. We just have just a couple minutes, sir, if you could state your name and address real briefly, or let us your comments real briefly, because we're going to lose our line here.
I'm A. O'Siren, commonly known as Cy. I've been in Alaska for 27 years. And I'm of an age that is beyond this House Bill 8 having any bearing on, because it wouldn't affect me because of my age. However, I think an insured program would be a real good thing, probably. To get this thing settled down the road, won't have to come up every other year or whenever somebody decides to do so. Relative to the length of time that we can be out of the state, that's interesting to me from the standpoint not only of the lady who just testified, but also there are a few people who are a little of an ability to go outside. The family is scattered around throughout the country with grandchildren scattered around, and I'm not speaking only for myself, but anybody in a similar situation. And to go out for 30 days with the cost of the airline tickets that it is to travel from Alaska, longer periods of time, less frequently travel, would be an economic advantage. So, for that reason, I would like to see that the time could be extended as long as possible. And if this is a program for the fact that we've been in the state for a length of time, it troubles me a little bit that there should be any limit on it at all, as long as we're giving up the checks at a time that we're gone. Some people can't afford to do that, but some people can. And so, if that could be extended or whatever, that would be of interest to me. And I'm glad that you're supporting the idea of just discounting the bill that the governor has proposed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Last one now.
I'm Alan J. Ekman in the 200th West Main Avenue, and I'm opposed to the 159, and I agree with what he said about longer time for people that can't because of the prices and such. And the 159, I've been here for 40 years, and we came when we were young. And now when we're getting to be 65, well, now we're going to change it up to 67, and I feel like, well, I've been here, but it's had 40 years, so I feel like that'd be just like chopping us out of the way. And I know a lot of other people my age that are coming up that came the same time as I did, you know, that would be having to wait now until 67. I don't think that's right either for changing of that.
Thank you, Tom. All right, is there any representatives online that wanted to make any closing statement? We have just a couple minutes.
Simply from general, Mr. Chairman, this is Pat Parnell. I appreciate those folks who did come in from Anchorage to take the time to come and visit and show their feelings with us. And I will be most interested in how we solve or approach some of these ideas that they present. And I learned some very interesting points today, and I appreciate the time they've taken to do that.
Thank you, Representative Parnell. Any others online? Members of the committee, Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the April, this fresh off the press edition of the Senior Voice, the governor stated he wanted to hear from the seniors themselves, and he wants to hear from the people who helped build the state. Say, Governor, that you did hear from the seniors today all over the state, and that these statements were unanimous.
Other members of the committee? Representative Ruffman? Representative Gruber?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of our duties in the legislature is to confirm nominees or appointees to cabinet positions. And we're going to be having hearings on this in the State Affairs Committee. And the Department of Administration is headed by the Commissioner of Administration, Milton Keller. And that department is in charge of the Longevity Bonus Program and the Pioneer Homes and some of these other issues that have attracted some attention here today. And I would urge people who are concerned about the policies of that department to participate through your representatives and let them know your feelings as we look at the confirmation of these particular people. That's April 22nd for the Commissioner of Administration. That's in this committee.
Thank you, Representative Gruber. I'd like to reemphasize that, and maybe it might be a good thing to even add in the papers with that. That if anybody does have specific questions or instances that we can use in the confirmation process, they should certainly call us at 465-4859 or write us to the State Affairs Committee, because it's probably one of our bigger responsibilities in making a recommendation to the full House whether to approve these people or not. Representative Bruckley, did you want to add anything before I close the meeting?
Just to say thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having
me
here in Anchorage.
I certainly want to. Representative,
yeah, I'd like to say something, and we're often accused as politicians of patting each other on the back, but I think that Chairman Jean Kamina deserves a real lot of the applause for having these hearings here, and he has been extremely supportive of the senior programs here in Alaska, and has conducted this committee with, I think, great dignity and a lot of human feeling, and I just want to say
thank you. Thank you very much. I just want to thank everybody that showed up today. I don't have a count of how many people were here testifying and observing. There were far more observing than were testifying, and we will have those numbers out, and the House of State Affairs will send a letter to the governor this week with the, what has happened, with the results, the testimony that we've received, and we will report to the full House on probably on Wednesday under special orders of what has gone on at these meetings and report to the House members the testimony that we have received. And I appreciate everyone's time. Do a little formal statement here, if I may, that next meeting of the House State Affairs Committee will be Wednesday, April 3rd, 1991. That time we'll be here in HDR 29 relating to the Persian Gulf conflict, House Bill 188 relating to citizens' medals for Persian Gulf veterans, and House Bill 171 relating to the prohibition of sealing of certain court records and other bills previously heard. And with that, I'll adjourn the meeting of the House State Affairs Committee, and thank you for all.